Several years ago, the United Church of Christ distilled their message into a very pithy slogan. You could see it on signs and see it in ads, and it simply said, God is still speaking. God is still speaking. And I wondered as I thought of that this week, do we believe that? Do we believe God is still speaking? It must have been something like a belief in that that impelled those magi from the East to leave the security of their home in the East, probably Persia. Something like that impelled them to follow that tiny speck of light. They must have believed somehow that God is still speaking. They went to King Herod to seek the person being heralded by the star. It drove them to find that infant king. They were ready to go to whatever lengths necessary to pay homage. Their thirst finally led them to Bethlehem and to Jesus. These magi were the Gentiles. On Epiphany Sunday, we celebrate the light given to all nations, not the chosen people, not the priests and the scribes who were the religious institution. No, these were outsiders. In contrast to the Magi following that unknown path is King Herod, who was frightened, who sends those wise men to find Jesus, to find out exactly where he is. And we know what happened, slaughter of innocent children born from Herod's grip on power and his fear. It's maybe a little less clear why the chief priests and scribes and all Jerusalem were also afraid. But the message shines through. The light was for all the nations. It's a message that human beings through centuries have not trusted and have not heeded in our violent and long history. And we begin this year with the heartbreak of more senseless shootings, with raw anger vented and fear rising. This week's beautiful new moon rose on a world still suffering with war in Syria and Yemen, South Sudan, continuing floods of refugees, homelessness, chilling relationships between the US and Russia, polarized politics all over the world. I agree with Father Richard Rohr, the Franciscan priest who said, I'm convinced that the manifestation of our present evils, political corruption, ecological devastation, hating each other based on religion, race, or sexual orientation are all symptoms of the greatest disease facing humanity, our profound and painful sense of disconnection. The ultimate sin is to think we are separate from one another, any race, any religion. These banners, this scripture reminds us we've got to have a God that's at least as big as the universe. The mystery, beauty and awesomeness of the cosmos gets bigger and bigger. And we sometimes get stuck with an image of an angry God who only likes one particular group of people. At Epiphany, we remember that light is for all people. The deep and profound love of God ends our painful separation. In Portland, I often feel that separation. Honestly, as a small woman who doesn't look like a pastor, I can pass. But you know, many times I meet new people, and when I explain that I'm a pastor, I almost see that wall go up. And I admit it, I was a preacher's kid who always sat on the second pew at the end while my dad was preaching and my mom was directing the choir. I'm the religious insider in this town. I've got 2 degrees in religion, and it's all I've ever done as an adult. I'm a religious insider, just like the chief priests and scribes. Here in this sanctuary, many of us are religious insiders. This year, in 2017, Westminster celebrates 125 years of ministry in Portland and the world. We claim and we follow Christ. We are within the tradition. But these magi from the East who follow the path of a star to find light in the person of a baby, this is a reminder that God's light is for all. We heard this morning from Isaiah, "I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. This is the dream of God. We, insiders, outsiders, we are part of fulfilling that dream. God is still speaking. Perhaps it's our calling at Westminster this year, in the midst of the practicalities, in the midst of healing the organ, in the midst of rebuilding our parking lot, perhaps our calling is to keep alive the ministry of imagination, to keep on conjuring and proposing alternative futures to the single one of narrow vision that the world gives. Maybe we do it through arts ministry and the literary fair, through relationship building in Guatemala, through building closer community with youth and young adults, perhaps continuing to address homelessness and hunger and poverty in our community. Perhaps we will hear God speaking to us in a completely new way. I am in the world, feeling my way to light amid the encircling gloom. That was said by Mohandas Gandhi, who nonviolently led an end to separation between religions and economic castes. He warned that the most important thing was not to prepare speeches or to organize marches, but to prepare oneself for mountains of suffering. Martin Luther King knew that. That's the message of the cross. Prepare ourselves for mountains of suffering. New creation does not come cheaply or without doubt and loss. But God's light shows us we can trust in the Holy Spirit working through us and in us in ways we can't yet see. Our God is not an angry deity in the sky, smiling on one chosen group. God is an infinite flow of love working in us, always to bring new life. Here's a bit of hope. Father Rohr, whom I quoted earlier, he has a new book, and this is on the Orthodox theology of the Trinity. He's found that this latest book, is resonating in unexpected places. Recently, he gave a talk to executives at Google in the Silicon Valley. And he's also heard from folks at Apple who want to know about this teaching on the Trinity. Though recent days have revealed heightened xenophobia, racism, and misogyny, This growing interest in traditional theology in non-traditional places and people is a sign that God is still speaking. Some of you may have braved the ice today because we are casting stars today. And if you just happen to come here for the first Sunday, you're in luck. Our tradition here at Westminster on Epiphany Sunday is to, without looking at what the word is, take a star, we will turn it over and see what our word is for the year. Now, that word is God's gift to us. Sometimes I've actually heard people say, well, I'm afraid of what my star is going to say. Because it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to do it or make it happen. It may be that this is something we have, something we will receive, something we will discover or share. But in some way, it's a gift, it's God's message to us. You can take the star home and put it by your bedside. You can take it to your office and put it on your desk or in your drawer. But look at it as a daily reminder of God's love for you. What is God speaking to us today? Are we listening? What will be the gift you receive or give? How will we let God's light shine through us this year? Will we see?